Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Spooky things. We moved houses about 11 years ago. I always claimed to my mom seeing someone who stood at the top of the stairs, which she always said was silly. A few years ago, my next door neighbor died. I was very close to them. They were like an extra set of grandparents. A woman down the road told them she would look after their house if anything happened, and she got it after they died. She never looked after it and had pretty much destroyed it now. Ever since they died, strange things have happened. My TV goes fuzzy when there is no reason why it should, and it never happens when I get my dad to have a look at it. Things just fall out of nowhere, such as an hour ago I was sitting talking to my mom. We were both watching my dad outside, and something gold fell off the shelves. When we looked, the only thing we found was a CD player, which was on the floor beneath the shelves. It had been nowhere near them at all. About a year ago, we found out a woman had died in this house. She fell down the stairs and wasn't found for 3 days. Her room is where I sleep. My bulbs blow every few weeks. In the rest of the house, this doesn't tend to happen at all. My stuff goes missing all the time, even when I know where it should be. No one else who lives here, which is my brother and parents, have had any of this happen to them. It happens when I'm home alone as well, so I know it can't be any of them playing jokes on me. My dog tends to just stare at nothing sometimes, but I assume that was because she was getting old. My uncle died a few years ago. My cousins rang us in the middle of the night screaming he was dead. We were very close to him, and I've always joked about how he watches over me and stops me from seriously getting hurt, since I seem to be very accident prone. But every time something serious happens, I'm fine. The weirdest thing I've experienced so far happened a few weeks ago. Our toilet is downstairs. These houses were built about 60 years ago for workers who built the dams near our house. They knocked down a village to put in the dam. My grandma always tells me about how they had to carry coffins from the church down to the church in our village at night. My granddad died when my mom was 17, long before I was born. My mom says that the night before her wedding, she saw him sitting at the end of her bed. All my uncles and my aunt claim the same thing. As I came out of the toilet, I saw a man walk past me. I assumed it was my dad and thought nothing of it. I headed upstairs and passed my dad on the way. I asked him when he'd come upstairs, since I had just seen him go into the living room. He said he'd been upstairs all afternoon. I then realized that the man I had passed could not have been my dad. He had more hair, and it was more gray than my dad's, and also he was a little bit shorter. The weird part is, when I passed the man, it felt normal, like he belonged here. I know the people who lived here before me, and they said that they had TVs turning off and on for no reason and lamps going off. Ever since I was 5, I've had the feeling I've been watched in this house. No one ever believed me when I said it was haunted and that there was someone at the top of the stairs. All I know is that it's not a living person. The first house that I bought. My new husband and I were looking to buy our first house together for about a year. We even put in an offer on a house, but our financing fell through. About 6 months later, I had an extremely vivid dream about my dream house. When I awoke in the morning, I was excited and told my husband all about this wonderful house. Less than a week later, a real estate agent called us about a house that he found that he thought would be perfect for us. The second we walked through the door, I almost fell over. It was the house from my dream. Everything was exactly where I remembered. A month later, we closed on our new house. I work nights for many years, so I have trouble falling asleep. I spend a few quiet hours watching TV and working on my art projects while everyone sleeps. At first, nothing strange happened, but soon enough, I began experiencing sightings of dark shadows moving about the house. I often hear noises like people walking through the house when I know everyone is sleeping upstairs. I've had the feeling of a hand on my shoulder while I sat in the house completely alone. One day, while I was alone in the garage, I saw bicycle move about 3 inches forward. This scared me, so I went into the house. When I entered the house, all the curtains blew around like a huge gust of wind blowing through the house. Objects will come up missing, then return weeks later. At night, my children are woken up, and I am beginning to think my daughter does not just fall out of bed on her own. I have been woken up in the middle of the night with a feeling like someone is staring at me. At first, I thought these things only happened to me. However, my husband and stepson have told me they have been experiencing the same thing. It's strange because there are times when I'm completely comfortable in my house, whether there are occurrences or not. Other times, I am terrified. It's almost like I have two separate visitors in my home. I love my home, and I do not want to leave it, but I'm unsure what to do. I do not like the idea of angering any spirits that may be here, and I am not experienced enough to take care of this stuff on my own. If the visitors I have are kind and harmless, I have no problem letting them stay. But if they are not good spirits, I really need them to leave. I just don't know what I should do. The rented house. We rented this very pretty house in New Hampshire. Our son was only a week old when we moved in there. The upstairs walk-in closet really scared me. I was surprised that it did because I always wanted a walk-in closet. I told myself I was just being silly. We at first slept downstairs because it was just easier with the baby and everything. Well, one day, my husband was drunk and being mean to me. He was cooking hot dogs and had turned the fire off. I saw him do that. And then he came into the living room yelling and just being a jerk. I told him to stop and leave me alone, and then we both hear the hot dogs are boiling like crazy. In fact, the pan was burning. He runs in the kitchen and turned them off. He was like, "I know that I turned the fire off. What is going on?" He left me alone the rest of the night. Just sleeping at night, I would hear noises upstairs, and this was every night. I would tell myself that it was the cats, of which I had two at the time. One time I was hearing the noises and told myself, "Oh, it's just the cats," and looked around the living room, and they are both downstairs with me. Another time my son was crying and driving me crazy. He was the baby that slept maybe 1 to 2 hours and then screamed his little head off. I heard that you should go into the bathroom and just scream to get a grip of yourself before going near the baby. So that's what I was doing, screaming, "I'm so tired, I can't take this." I went out to the living room, and he wasn't crying anymore, and I could hear music. I go out there, and his mobile was wound up and playing for him, and he was happy. I said out loud, "Thank you." Another time I was in the kitchen doing dishes, and something told me, "Go check on the baby now." I ran into the living room, and he was not breathing. I had to wake him up, and he started breathing again. It was very scary, and boy was I thankful. I was crying and saying thank you over and over again. I love my son very much and would not want to live without him. My brother broke up with this girl, Kathy, that I used to be friends with. Anyway, he needed a place to stay, and he and this girl, Jody, stayed over one night. He was thinking about moving in and having the upstairs bedroom, but not after spending the night at our house. He wasn't around when I woke up the next day and didn't come back that night, so I called and asked him why, that I thought he wanted to move in and share the rent and bills with us. He told me that there was no way that he was moving in with us because that night, the bedroom got very cold, even with the electric heat blasting. We found out later that he never turned it down and our bill was very expensive, and that things started flying around the room. They left that night because they were so scared. Now they were doing things that they shouldn't have been doing, so maybe it didn't like them for it. This girl Jody was beautiful, but not anymore because of all the drugs she did. I don't think it was a bad spirit because it did help me out with both my husband and my son. But there could have been more than one spirit. I never liked it upstairs. I was so very uncomfortable. When my husband and I did start sleeping up there with the baby, once he left for work, I would take my son and myself and go downstairs as fast as I could safely. I could not stay up there alone or have my baby up there alone either. And I could say it's all my imagination, but I know that it's not. My haunted apartment. I used to live in an apartment that had a lot of strange activity going on. When I moved into the apartment, the previous occupants were an elderly couple who died of natural causes. Of course, that made me a little uneasy, but what could I do? I needed a place to live. I am what people would call a sensitive. I have had many experiences with the paranormal throughout my life, but never as much as I did when I moved into this apartment. I used to wake up at night and feel as though I wasn't alone in my room. Sometimes I would wake up to people talking, but no one would be there. For a while, I thought I was losing it. I had many nights where I didn't get any sleep. My son, who was just a baby at the time, was deathly afraid to be in his room by himself. I remember one time in particular, I had put my son in his bed and he was sound asleep. About 20 minutes later, I heard this horrible cry from my son and I knew something was up. He came running out of his room. His eyes were as wide as golf balls and his skin was a pale white. He normally has an olive complexion. It mystified me as to what had happened because this incident took place before he could talk. But deep down, I knew that he had seen something that frightened him badly. On one occasion, my boyfriend at the time had come home from dinner. We were laughing and hugging, and all of a sudden, we heard a huge crash come from my son's room. He wasn't there. He was at his dad's house that day. We both ran into his room, and on an opposite wall, I had a shelf with some figurines on it. When we got there, the figurines were halfway across the room, and the shelf was still on the wall. Before this occurrence, my boyfriend that I was speaking of used to tell me that he was very uncomfortable in my house and felt like someone did not want him there. Now I understand why. I used to hear what sounded like footsteps in my hall. My cats at the time used to run around the house making strange noises and chasing something that I could not see. My TV would turn back on when I turned it off, and the screen would be blank with a little color. There are so many things that I had experienced there that I'm sure I've forgotten some things. I have since moved into a new apartment in the same complex, and I often wonder if the new tenants experience what I did. Since I have the gift that I was born with, I know that this will always happen, but I have never experienced so much activity in one place. The Haunted Barn. The small town that I grew up was in Nebraska. And I lived in a house that was built in the mid-1800s. A man, his wife, and their daughter had lived there, but the wife died of smallpox and the daughter caught the disease. When she did, the husband went crazy, stabbed the daughter to death, and then hung himself in what would become our cattle barn. When my family moved in there, we had to fix the house up, and that's when things got weird. Tools would go missing or would be moved. Every morning, it was my job to milk our cows. Well, one morning, I walked by the barn looking for the milk bucket, and I saw the shape of a man hanging from the rafters out of the corner of my eye. So I turned to see it full on, and nothing was there. The cows were panting like they had been running all night. We finally bulldozed the cattle barn, and when we did, we found dozens of dead cats. We can never figure out who had done these to these animals and why. A disturbing encounter. 3 years ago, I was 19. I was a college student dabbling in film and English with no shortage of friends and adventures during the summer. One of my friends from school, his name was Grady, suggested that we take a weekend trip from Minneapolis down to visit his family and friends in Mankato. He set it all up and we were to stay at his mother's the first night and his father's the second night. I'd never met his family before, but he had told me his mom was kind of a pack rat and for money renovated and rented out a few houses in town. When we got to his mother's, he wasn't kidding. His room, the room we had planned on staying in, was full of boxes and other stuff she told us had been left at a rental property, and she was trying to get in touch with the renters since she had to start renovating where they had left all these things. Needless to say, it was getting late, it was very hot, and I just wanted to go anywhere that was less cluttered and humid. His mother suggested that we just stay at this property about a half mile away that she was renovating. She said it was a huge house with a fan, a working bathroom, and I could smoke cigarettes inside. I was sold. We drove to the house, which was up on a hill and across from a park. It was not quite dark yet. His mom met us there and let us in and gave us a tour. The front door opened into a large front room with a staircase going upstairs on your left and the door to the basement stairs on the left beyond that. Straight ahead was the kitchen, with a bathroom that had just been added beyond that, and a living room to the right of the kitchen. The front room was the only room with a finished floor in the downstairs other than the halls. Upstairs, there was a bathroom immediately to your left that didn't work, then a small bedroom, then the master bedroom, which I noted had a small door to a crawl space or an attic along the wall. We shut all the doors up there securely before we went downstairs. No windows were open up there. The only furniture up there was a mattress in the master bedroom and a shop vac. She said the basement was unfinished and we didn't venture down there. It was about 10 p.m. It was dark out. Before his mother left, I already had a strange feeling and I asked her, "Is there anything else I should know?" She said, "No." Later, I found out more stories that predate my time at this house, which if I had known then, I might not have decided to stay there. Also, things that happened after my visit. So Grady and I were left there alone. We found a TV, but all it could get was one channel, and not very well. It was when we set to getting our bedding set up that things started to happen. I went into the downstairs bathroom to brush my teeth and use the bathroom. Grady was in the front room messing with the TV. I was sitting on the toilet. The faucet was not on, but I was brushing my teeth and I heard two knocks on the door. I said something like, "Hold on a minute," and continued. Getting up, turning on the faucet, I heard more knocks, louder on the door. I said, "Geez, what's up?" and opened the door only to see an empty hallway. I went back to the front room and asked Brady what he was trying to pull. He had no idea what I was talking about, and I could tell he didn't do it. Already, feeling strange, I wanted to go to bed so I could wake up and leave sooner. It was about 15 minutes or so after we laid in our respective sleeping bags side by side that I started hearing noises upstairs. It started as a sequence of a tapping noise, followed by a sort of scrape or scratching noise. The way I was laying, I could see the staircase, and I could see up the stairs. I roused Brady and said, "Can you hear that?" He said he could, and we laid silently listening for several minutes. The noises got louder and seemed to centralize right over our heads. I started thinking maybe it's a raccoon or something, but then the noises got so loud and seemed to be on the walls next to us as well. They suddenly stopped. We were looking at each other, whispering about our suspicion of what critter it was, when we both distinctly heard an upstairs door slowly open and slam shut twice. I was up like a shot and ran to the bathroom on the floor we were on. I started getting very dark vibes as I heard those noises, and I was now sure no critter living was up there. Grady came and found me, and it took something to talk me out of the bathroom with the locking door and light. I do not scare easily, but I was scared. Something was trying to communicate, and by now, if it was an intelligent spirit, I knew I was sensitive to its presence. I know from my experience as a medium that not every spirit wants you there, and not every spirit has good intentions either. I could already tell that this was not a good situation. I went back and laid down, but only after Grady promised to stay up with me if anything else happened. Nothing happened for a long time, and exhaustion got the better of me. I dozed off. About 40 minutes later, a sound woke me up. I can only liken it to somebody yelling at you close to your face. I remember that by this point, I already had most of my face hidden under the blankets. He stirred. I started to whisper that I just heard something when I felt like somebody was looking at me from the stairs. I turned my one exposed eye towards it, only to see this tall black mass blocking the light of the window and the stairs. It was a human form and compact. I could tell it was male, but seemed to have longer hair. I was quiet, and I heard a whisper, "Get out." Trying to use any positive energy I could to protect myself, I whispered, "I'm sorry to disturb you. We are leaving soon. Please leave me alone. Please." The shadow seemed to move and suddenly appeared to be right in front of me in a split second. Loud bellowing and seemingly spoken by someone who didn't use English as a first language was, "Get out!" I put the blanket over my head and clawed Grady's arm so hard he woke up. He didn't see anything, but did admit it was much colder than it should be given there was no air conditioning. I didn't sleep the rest of the night, and no matter what I heard, I didn't remove the blanket from my face. Tapping noises on the walls and footsteps continued, and as soon as it was daylight, I left. The voices. When I was a senior in high school, I was in AP Psychology and we had an assignment about the abnormal things that happen, aka ghosts, crop circles, aliens, etc. My friend and I picked ghosts and decided to try a few things we had heard stories about. First, we did the Candyman thing in the mirror, which is so fake. Same with Bloody Mary. So living in a small city, we decided to ask some friends if they heard of any ghost stories. We mainly heard two, so we decided that those would be the ones we'd try out. We had to go to the Ogden Cemetery. That was a very scary place. We went when it was dark. We parked by a really big tree and flashed the car lights 3 times and turned the car off and the tape recorder on. We sat there for over 2 hours and saw nothing. So we called it a night. On the way home, we played the tape back. They could hear us whispering, and then when we quit, there was another voice. At first, we didn't believe it and thought it was just our imagination because we were just in a scary place. The next day, we gathered up some friends and that night went to the other location, which is said to be a haunted field. Kay's Cross is the field, and as the story goes, a farmer went crazy and killed his wife and kids, then hung them on crosses so the birds would leave his crops alone, and then later killed himself. So my friends and I went after dark to see if the ghost stories were true. We went to the middle of the field and started a fire. I turned the tape recorder on again, just in case. We all talked and tried to freak each other out. Out of nowhere, a big gust of wind came and blew out the fire, and in the smoke you could see 3 faces. My friend Amanda screamed, "Let go of me!" But no one was touching her. Everyone grabbed their stuff and started running back to the cars after that. As we were running, you could hear children laughing. It was so scary. When we presented our report, we played both tapes again. The one from the cemetery, you could hear the other voice, and it said, "Leave me alone. Just leave. I'm happy here." And then her screaming. The second one, you could hear the children laughing and tons of voices that didn't belong to any of our friends. If you don't think ghosts are real, try taping and you'll be surprised. It sure changed the way I thought about it. Many ghostly experiences. My name is Carrie. I have had a couple of ghostly experiences. My mother has also told me of hers, and my grandmother has told me of ghostly things that happened at the house they lived in when my dad was a kid. First, I will tell you about my own experiences. When I was maybe 4 or so, my Aunt Marianne died. But anyway, after that, while I was still just a small child, I can remember seeing her. Once I saw her at the foot of my bed. The other time that I can remember, I saw her standing in the doorway of the bathroom. You see, the house I lived in at the time, my bedroom was right across from the bathroom. Also, my mom told me that once, soon after she died, I was at the library and I told her I had to call Aunt Marianne. Keep in mind, this is after her death, and I knew that. I had attended the funeral and everything. Here are some more recent encounters. In the house I live in now, I was sitting at the foot of the stairs, and I saw a white figure go by the window. Needless to say, I thought it was freaky. My house was probably built in the 70s, but it could be that I saw the ghost of a Native American who used to live on the land or something. Then one time, after my grandmother's cat died, I was in my mom's room and I saw the shape of a cat sitting on my mom's dresser. I couldn't even make out any features or colors. I just knew it was a cat. Then maybe 2 to 5 seconds later, I looked downstairs and my cat Macaroni was at the bottom of the stairs. I don't think Macaroni is that fast, and we did not have our second cat, Elvis, at the time. Could it be the late Gypsy? My latest encounter was yesterday. My friend Tori was over and we were drawing. We both love to do that. We heard this door closing in the garage. The weird thing is, it didn't even sound like the door in the garage, but that is besides the point. I grabbed a huge dictionary and I was going to check if I heard it again. I didn't. But after she left, I found a skeleton key that she left at my house for her back door. She lives in a Victorian era house. It's pretty cool. But do you think she could have brought a ghost? Now, about my school. It was built in 1910. In the upstairs bathroom, when I'm in there alone, I feel like I'm being watched. I believe my friends, Paige and Morgan, have said similar things. And once at the father-daughter dance, my friends, Tori, Morgan, and Lauren, and I all went to the bathroom. Tori was the only one who needed to go, but you know girls. After she was finished and I had applied lip gloss, we all turned out the lights for about 5 seconds. As Morgan was turning them on, we heard this loud thump. We were the only ones in there. Morgan said she was against the wall and she felt it vibrate. Needless to say, we got out of there fast. Morgan's exact words were, "I have never run so fast in heels in my life." Now I shall tell you about my mother's experience. One of the other stories jogged my memory. My mom had a dream that one of her friends told her goodbye. She thought he was going on a trip or something. It turned out he committed suicide. Also, when my grandpa, was alive, when my mom was a teenager or preteen, she would go to the pool or somewhere like that with her friends. Her dad would come to the pool or wherever she was just to check up on her. As soon as my mom and he would make eye contact, he would leave. He was checking on her just to make sure she was okay. She told me that after he died, and I can't remember if this was a one-time thing or if it happened numerous times, that she would see a spirit, and after they made eye contact, he would disappear. I don't think this has happened in recent years. And last but not least, here are my grandmother's experiences. She said that sometimes they would hear footsteps on the front porch. She would ask who had come home late. My dad had a big family himself. His mom and dad, 7 brothers and 1 sister, my poor Aunt Sherry. So it was a possibility that somebody could have come home late, but nobody did. So who made those ghostly footsteps? Nobody ever found out. The Ghostly Greaser. I visited my sister's house in Wisconsin just a few weeks after my daughter was born in 2005. She just got home from work for the day and suggested we watch a movie. Halfway through, I noticed that she had fallen asleep with my baby daughter in her arms. I smiled to myself, wishing I had a camera. I paused the movie and got up to use the bathroom. Since it was in the guest room right off the living room, I decided to leave the door open in case my daughter woke up. I finished my business and was pulling up my pants when something caught the corner of my eye. I looked towards the doorway in frozen shock at what I saw. A 20-something young man from the 50s or 60s era was leaning on the doorway looking at me. I say that because he looked like a greaser. He had jeans, white t-shirt, and a leather jacket with his hair slicked back. Just when I realized what I was looking at and started to scream, he simply said, "Listen to me." It was too late. I was screaming and started to run past him. I tried moving him out of the way, but instead slammed my forearm into the doorway. By the time I got to the living room, my sister was screaming at me. "What are you screaming for?" I couldn't choke the words out. I took my daughter from her and just held her to me and cried, rocking back and forth. Once I calmed down, I told my sister what happened. Eyes wide and intrigued, my sister bolted for the bathroom. I called after her. "He's probably not there anymore." She came back sulking. Being the good sister she is, she stayed in the guest room with me. I never saw him again, although I wish I had listened to what he wanted to say. The Haunting in the Cabin. One winter, my church was having a winter retreat. We headed up there and it was snowing just a little bit, but by the time we had woken up the next morning, there was snow and snow and some more snow. The cabin that we were staying in was called Paula. Each of the cabins were named after someone who had died who was a Christian. When you walked in there, there was a living room and 2 hallways on each side of it. It had a picture of Paula and her story below it. The 2 hallways led to separate bathrooms and bedrooms, 1 of each on each side. There were very few of us girls staying there, about 5, so we stayed on the left side of the cabin. The other side was used to hang our wet clothes after we had trudged through knee-deep snow and got our clothes soaked. No one liked going in there because there was an eerie feel to the room. Anyway, the day dragged on and it was nighttime. 3 of the girls were in the mess hall and 2 were in the empty room. It was nighttime and we were drinking hot chocolate and sitting by the fire. Likely situation for a cold night. But that was when we heard girls screaming. The 2 girls who were staying in the cabin came running in the mess hall and were breathless and trying to get their stories out. They eventually got it out. They were sitting in the cabin when they heard noises like voices in the nearby bathroom and the water faucets turning on and off. They immediately propped a chair up on the door closest to the bathroom to keep it shut and ran out the back door. At first, they thought it to be the boys, but they were all with us or with somebody else. As we went back to the cabin to check things out, I started to feel sick. Right when we got into the room, I ran to the bathroom to throw up. Since I was sick, they didn't want the girls in the cabin to keep me up, so they made me, yes, this is bad, they made me sleep in the room that the girls heard the noises in. I was reassured when one of the leaders said she'd sleep in the room with me, but she never showed. I, of course, got the living crud scared out of me in that room. I kept waking up to the feeling that something was just about to reach out and touch me, but I woke up in the nick of time. It happened numerous times throughout the night. Finally, I called the leader in and she slept with me in the room. I started to feel better, even though I was worried about the shadows and the feelings and the noises in the room. Somehow or other, I managed to get through the rest of the night. I myself heard the same noises the other girls had complained about, but I just said that it was water running through the pipes, but in truth, that was just an excuse. No one really knows if the noises were the boys, Paula, or just the girls' imagination, but what we do know is that the noises were real, that they were scary, and we would never stay at that camp again.